This is Market to Market producer Colleen Bradford Krantz. Stand by for the Market Analysis Podcast. Send us any questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org.
This is the Friday, April 30, 2021 version of the Market Analysis segment for Market to Market. Grains traded in 8-year highs as the same components of weather, demand, and China stayed fused. For the week, July wheat added 23 cents, while the nearby corn contract leaped 41 cents higher, or 6%. It is not clear if the bulls have pulled an Irish goodbye in the soybean complex, but the technicals spent part of the week possibly signaling their quiet departure. July soybeans improved 19 cents. July meal added 30 cents. July cotton shrank by 72 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, May Class 3 milk futures rose 31 cents. A mixed week in the livestock sector, June cattle added 85 cents. August feeders shed 315. And the June lean hog contract gained by $4. In the currency markets, U.S. dollar index increased 40 ticks. June crude oil expanded 134 per barrel. COMEX gold decreased $8 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index improved almost 13 points to finish at 505.50. Now here to provide insight is regular market analyst, Mr. Dan Huber. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right.
Very good.
That's pretty much all I got. Hello.
It was kind of a boring week, so there's not much left to talk about.
There's nothing to talk about anymore, is there? I mean, have you ever, Dan, I mean, you've done this a couple of years, seen a period of time like we've had since August? We just referenced a piece in August.
Sure,
Have you seen 6 to 10 months like this?
Not in this kind of veracity or this kind of volatility. I mean, generally, you would associate this kind of move with a summer rally. And even then, summer rallies, 4 or 6 weeks, they're done and over with, and that's just it. But, you know, truly, I mean, this is demand-based. I mean, granted, it started with some supply issues, but, you know, with China stepping into the market and, you know, some of the production problems we ultimately found out we had last year, you know, this has just grown and grown. Now, interestingly enough, it's been very orderly. And again, I mean, one of the main purposes of when you get into a market like this is the market has to discourage demand, help promote production, which, you know, we've done a pretty good job there as far as the acreage. We're looking at additional acreage for corn and soybeans this year. But not up until recently have you kind of seen that panicky type of buying that would be associated with, well, we've really got to kind of squeeze the noose around the demand out there. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say we've got the job done yet, but at least we started the process.
We could talk about buying acres in corn, but let's start with wheat, where there was a big supply a year ago at this time.
Sure.
All of a sudden, some demand has come to feed livestock with wheat.
Correct.
Is that
correct.
The big fuel to this rise?
Well, I think absolutely. And granted, I mean, some of it's just, there's always a certain amount of people look at it, well, corn's a little high priced and beans, you know, maybe have kind of capped off what they can do. So let's just go over and buy wheat. But certainly on a worldwide basis, I mean, beginning a few weeks ago here, the Chinese government put out official recommendations to the livestock industry and how you can rebalance rations with heavy emphasis on feeding wheat. And you're seeing that in Vietnam, you're seeing that in South Korea, you know, some of the major, I think 23, if you take South Korea, Vietnam and China, there's 23-24% of all the corn export business in the world. And if they're starting to look at alternatives to using corn or soybean meal, you know, it's going to show up. And I think that's what's shown up in the wheat here the last week or so.
It's the question for all the grains, though, right now. Are you making any sales? Specifically, I mean, let's start with the old crop. We're almost to the point of having some winter wheat getting close to coming onto the market. Mm-hmm. Are you making sales in either nearby or deferred contracts?
And all the way around, of course, when it comes to old crop corn and soybeans, there's really not much inventory left out there. But, you know, nobody has the crystal ball that's going to allow you to pick the top on this. We just don't know how insane it could get. Or maybe we've already priced in a lot of forward thinking here as far as weather and demand and that type of thing. So, you know, to sit back and think I can hold out until I'm going to get that final penny is usually a kind of a fool's errand. So, yes, I mean, we continue to recommend that on a scale-up basis, you know, use your business acumen and start locking in the profitable levels that are out here.
You mentioned the old crop corn. There's not a lot left. I got an email from somebody just before we taped today who said, I still have 90% of my grain to market. Now, it's not a lot. Last week we talked about maybe only 5% of the old crop still was in a farmer's hand.
Farmer's hand, right.
Do you subscribe to that theory?
Well, I think so. You know, yeah. You know, of course, the difficult way to when you conceive that, though, is, you know, we're still going to look at 1.4, 1.5, you know, so, somewhere is inventory of corn. Maybe it's 1.3, I guess, if the demand doesn't really back off. But, you know, that is not a critically tight supply of corn. It's probably in the wrong locations, and you're going to have to see basis move it from areas of shortages or areas of excess into areas of shortage. But, you know, it's not that we have a true supply problem in the corn, unlike the beans, where, yes, we know it's going to be nip and tuck to make it to new crop beans this year. So, but here again, that said, yeah, I don't know if it's some of that's probably pre-priced, waiting to deliver into later months, although with the inversion in the spreads and the cash market, there's probably not a lot of incentive to carry for any amount of time, but could have been booked early on. So I think the majority of it's already moved into or is passing ownership into those who are going to use it. So
that's the old crop situation. Got a new crop question.
Okay.
Came from Phil in Dresden, Ontario, via Twitter. Thank you, Phil, and everybody else who submits their questions each and every week. Dan, with December corn closing at approximately 546, November beans at 1318 on Thursday, are we beginning to see demand destruction at these levels, or are new crop prices still about new crop weather in July and August? And how will we cope with the volatility this summer?
Well, you know, of course, I would say yes on both. You know, I think we are starting to see demand destruction. You know, that's a great example, I think, and granted, this pertains more to the old crop at this point, but look at the hog numbers when they came out. I mean, shocked everyone that we were not seeing expansion in that industry. And I think, one, you know, they've had a rough several years, so they didn't really have the economic incentive. And, yes, we've seen a phenomenal hog rally along with the rest of the ag sector here at this point in time. But, you know, all you're doing is keeping pace. So, you know, I don't think we, if anything, yes, I think we're starting to back down the demand. And little incentive, you know, why would you want to try to take the risk of expanding 6 months down the road when, those markets are really, you know, still well within where we've been in the last 3 to 4 range when it comes to fall months. The one place we haven't seen it, and granted, new crop, old crop are two different stories here this year, but one thing we haven't seen it yet is in the ethanol industry. I mean, good margins yet, so, I mean, they have all the incentive in the world to continue to grind as much corn into ethanol, and of course, the DDG market is going to remain substantial for the feed side of it, so not happening yet, but, you know, again, even in that industry, all it would really take would be for Saudi Arabia to maybe kind of turn up the nozzle just a little bit and start pushing a little more oil onto the world markets, and you've put a cap on that.
Crude oil finished at 63.51 this week. So anything above $50 is usually seen as positive for the ethanol industry. All right, new crop corn, though. The volatility that happens interday right now is very hard to... You'll be down 11 and finish up 30. That's about to get worse come Monday, and we'll kind of talk about the volatility that's even going to expand in Market Plus. But how does someone who's trying to plant a crop right now market that crop, specifically corn, while they're out putting it in the ground?
Well, number one, I mean, again, this really comes back to why you need to have a plan in mind, sit down and put on paper, and offers put into place, because one, you can't your job as a producer is not to be watching the market, you know, every minute it is trading. That said, if you've done your homework, you know what it's going to cost you within reason, if what production is going to be this year. I mean, you've got crop insurance in place to cover some yield losses, and if you're at the point where the return on investment is exactly what you're shooting for or within the range you're shooting for, I mean, there's no sense to not continue to sell into it, ideally on a scale-up basis. I mean, just in the fact that when it turns, you know, markets, just like bottoms never occur in market because the news got bullish. It's always the most bearish news when you're at the bottom and ready to turn up. Same thing on the top. It's going to peak when everything looks the most bullish. And it'll come as a surprise. And at some point, we're just going to run out of the capital coming into the market. It's a little bit curious right now. For the last 2 weeks now, we've had large specs exiting the corn market, even though we've continued to push higher, which, you know, I would tend to say that might, you know, not that they still have a massive long position in the corn market, but I think it would be indicative of saying we've probably committed as many dollars as we need to this market at this point in time. And if anything, we're starting to rebalance a little bit.
Pull the cord. Is Dan Huber bearish about the bean market?
You bearish, you know, outside of weather is the wild card, of course, at this point. Old crop beans, though, you know, it's just difficult to see much bright in there. I mean, not that we're going to come out apart because, I mean, we have got to, you know, continue to ration demand mm-hmm. the best we can. But, you know, even in South America, you've seen basis levels start to slip in Brazil at this point in time. So, I mean, I think China has maybe backed away or maybe have secured the needs they have to have for beans at this point in time, which opens up that whole other discussion about is there really a major reoccurrence of African swine fever in that country? And if there is, you know and again, the news is sparse at best out of there. Some of the privates that, you know, we've had contact with say it's as bad as it was 2 years ago. But, well, you certainly don't get that from the popular press. And even the U.S. Ag Attaché said, well, you know, if they get beyond these problems, you know, yes, they could be back up to where they were a few years ago. But, you know, nobody has a great answer on exactly what's happening there.
Well, then let's stick with hogs and go into the U.S. hog market. Sure. The hog producer who's maybe taken a shipment this week, is he in a good position?
Oh, absolutely. I think right now you can future them off. You know, granted, your feed costs are, you know, it's nice if you want to lock those in as well, if you really want to keep the margins there. But I think for the time being, certainly. But here again, too, I mean, there's been no expansion in the domestic hog industry, and we're still seeing, even though the export to China were down this last week, they were still importing pork from the U.S., and the total numbers had a nice rebound. So it's, you know, we're still putting a lot of pork out of this country.
Got to get this on the record. Thursday, that was the first time in 56 days that the lean hog index is down. So you take that for whatever you want. Sure. But in the livestock, in cattle, let's start with live cattle.
Sure.
Cash and futures have been different. Cash has been dramatically different. But a lot of people are asking me about packer margins. Is that going to be the big story in keeping a lid on the cattle? Or is it a drought story? I'm selling so many cattle right now because I've got animals on dry conditions.
Well, you're probably bringing some animals off that are a little premature that and have to move them out because they're not looking at adequate amount of hay out there. But, you know, there is no simple answer to what's going on in the packer industry. We do not have enough packers in this nation. They're controlled by too few people. But, you know, how do you, granted, they're making phenomenal margins here at this point in time, but, you know, beyond that, how does a community welcome a new packing plant, you know, and I think that's as big an issue as anything else is, you know, nobody really wants those sitting in their backyard.
The NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Exactly. So, I mean, you can push and say all you want as far as, well, the economics are there, but, you know, if it came to actually to push to shove, are we able to construct that someplace? You know, that's a whole nother challenge that may be insurmountable.
If you're ready to take order on a shipment of live or of feeders this week, you in a good position?
That's a little more questionable. You know, I think and granted, we're still looking at a pretty decent fat market out there, but, you know, with the unknown being in the feed sector at this point in time, I mean, that's usually a little bit of pressure into the feeder market, but, I not that we're going to see a collapse in the meat markets this summer. I mean, granted, we're just starting into what should be our grilling season, our peak demand. But that said, you know, we've run up pretty well into these in anticipation of that, in anticipation of the COVID rebound or the post-COVID rebound. So, you know, we might have factored a lot of those things into these prices already, unless it comes in the export side.
All right. Yeah. Dan Huber, thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Time goes fast.
It does.
All right. That's Dan Huber, and that'll do it for this installment of Market to Market. We will keep this conversation going in Market Plus, so join us there. Find that on our website of markettomarket.org. And you know what? The beauty of planting season is in full display via Instagram. We've shared many of your posts in our stories section of our own feed of Market to Market show. Follow today to see those picks. Next week, we look at the push and pull of agriculture with China. Thanks for watching and have a great week.